Tonight, Midnighters, we've something a bit different here at the Midnighters Club. An on-the-disc visit with Dick Powell, a star who's been tops in pictures and on the air for, well, quite some time. You can catch his private detecting every Sunday over NBC in good old KDKA. And his latest movie, Mrs. Mike, is playing downtown right now at Lowe's Penn Theater. Welcome back to Pittsburgh, Richard.
Thanks for the warm welcome. I appreciate the invitation to visit.
Dick, as a platter spinner, radio listener, and moviegoer, I've got quite a few questions I've been saving for a long, long time. For one thing, I want to hear about your new NBC radio show and, of course, your new movie. Then I've always sort of wondered how you ever managed to switch from crooning roles to the rough-and-tumble business. Now, where do you suggest I start?
I'll make it easy on yourself. I'm a guy who loves to talk. Just pick a category and we'll be off. How about the last item you mentioned?
All right. Now, look, I can remember back to such great movie musicals as Flirtation Walk, Shipmates Forever, and 42nd Street. In fact, you darn near couldn't go in to see a musical that Powell wasn't the star. How did you ever manage to change over to radio and movie tough guy parts?
Let me tell you, it wasn't easy. Once they get the idea in Hollywood that you're musical material, it's tough to change their mind. I'd appeared in some 40-odd musicals, and after each of the last 10, I'd go to the office and plead for a chance to do something different. Anything. One day, after I'd finished up a musical at Paramount and stopped by the front office on the way out, a pal slipped me a copy of a script they were preparing to film called Double Indemnity. After I read it, I went to the studio head and asked him if I couldn't stop crooning forever and have the male lead. He looked at me like I'd just swiped the last bean in Boston and snarled, "No. That role's for a tough guy. Pal, you're just a crooner." The result was I quit the studio. I was pretty sour on the whole picture business until an old friend at another studio, RKO, an old friend named Charlie Kerner, came along with a Raymond Chandler thriller called Farewell, My Lovely. I wrangled him into seeing things my way, and Charlie, bless him, let me have the lead. The picture was released under the title of Murder, My Sweet, and by some lucky quirk of fate, scored well with the public and the box office. It was the first of the rough and tumble, knock-down, drag-out private eye yarns that have since found so much popularity on the screen.
Well, Dick, it looks like Charlie did you and the movie-going public a great big favor. But I know you've done a lot of radio work, both before and after the success of Murder, My Sweet. Tell me, do you still enjoy it?
Well, I've always gotten a big thrill and a lot of pleasure out of radio, and I jump at the chance to get on the air. Guess I'm just a ham at heart. Ever since I used to do shows on Pittsburgh stations, I've been ready and willing to go on the air anytime anybody shoves a mic within shooting distance. As a matter of fact, if you'll excuse a little ancient history, Powell emceed the first big coast-to-coast commercial series of broadcasts ever to come from Hollywood.
Yes, and if I'm not mistaken, that was the famous Hollywood Hotel Show that was really top-heavy with stars and talent. And I believe that Powell was the singing MC. That was the show they broadcast from one of the big studio sound stages, wasn't it, Dick?
That's right. There's nothing wrong with your research. Well, let's see. After that came many other shows, among them, Good News, Fitch Bandwagon. All this time, they still had Powell singing. And then NBC let me do the Rogues Gallery show, which was about the kind of private detective I played in Murder, My Sweet. I got to be truthful and admit we weren't a smashing success with Mr. Rogue. I like to think that we were coming a lot closer to developing a character that appeals to all kinds of listeners on Richard Diamond. That's the new series we're doing now. And we're getting lots of favorable listener reaction. And you know that makes us happy.
Say, Dick, what do you say to giving us a bit of background material on your Richard Diamond show? And perhaps a backstage peek at how you make a private detective tick?
Well, we started back in April of 1949 on NBC with this idea. We wanted to create a character, a private detective who lived and joked and worked in a believable manner.
Mm-hmm.
We wanted to steer away from all the worn-out stock situations and dialogue. We dug real deep and came up with what we consider to be a fresh approach and a writer who turns in some mighty sparkling dialogue. We sat down long before the program ever got on the air and made a detailed outline of what Diamond was like. We decided what he looked like, where he was born, and what he's done since. With this master form, mighty dog-eared now, the writer has to check each script.
Well, that's certainly a different approach, and probably one of the reasons that Rick Diamond seems very real and believable. You spoke of a master form, a sort of permanent outline of Diamond. Tell me, what sort of a guy does it make him out to be, Dick?
That's easy. Rick Diamond is a two-fisted private detective with a sense of humor. He was once on the New York police force with one Walt Levinson, and eventually quit. During the war, he was in the OSS. He has a girlfriend named Helen Asher. Helen's a swell gal. She puts up with a lot from Rick, who's forever breaking dates. Helen's folks have a lot of money, and her dad has often indicated that if Rick would give up his hand-to-mouth existence with a detective agency, he'd set him up in the Asher brokerage firm. But Rick can't see that. He does like Helen, and who knows, maybe someday she'll trap him.
Well, I guess we all run that risk. But, you know, she sounds on the air just as you describe her. And, believe me, that's not bad. Say, about the stories that you do on Richard Diamond, Dick, I pay pretty close attention to the plots, and I've noticed that for most part, you steer clear telling the story in flashbacks or retrospect. I always hate to hear a fast cops and robbers yarn, only to have it bogged down at the very end with a long and involved thing on, well, why the taxi driver did it.
Well, that's exactly what we try to stay away from. Mm-hmm. We want mystery, action, and a few guys knocked around some. But we want to stay away from all the worn-out situations that we feel have been worked to death. We want the people to enjoy the characters. And we feel they are as important as any complicated plot. We rarely have Helen along on any of the cases. She's just usually waiting for Rick to come by and have some sandwiches and a nightcap. And that's what really happened. Your real private detectives never have a girl training along on their cases like many airships do. To make it brief, we try and make Rick Diamond and what he does not only enjoyable, but believable.
Well, sir, you certainly have my vote, because I think Richard Diamond is tops in fast-stepping air mysteries. And that supporting cast does a swell job, too, Dick. But look, since the clock is kind of moving up on us, what say we jump over to the movies now and you tell us a bit about Mrs. Mike?
Okay, that I like to do. A couple of years back, a book named Mrs. Mike broke publishing records. It sold 1.25 million copies, was syndicated, reprinted and reprinted, and even translated into 17 different languages. They've told it all up and estimate that it has been read by about 50 million people. It's a simple story based on fact. It's a warm, human yarn of a Boston girl who marries a Royal Northwest Mounted Policeman and goes into the frozen Northwest Territory to make a life for both of them. It takes place about 1905.
Well, I feel pretty lost in this crowd of 50 million, because I, too, read Mrs. Mike. But I never realized that there was actually an honest-to-goodness Mrs. Mike. Is she still alive? And if she is, did you have an opportunity to talk or correspond with her, Dick?
Oh, she's alive, all right. We did more than correspond. Her real name is Mrs. Michael Flanagan, a gracious, gray-haired woman in her mid-60s, who has the most wonderful combination of Scottish burr and Boston accent you've ever heard. She lives in Vancouver now, and we brought her to Hollywood to be our technical advisor on the film. And she made us stick right close to what really happened, too.
Well, I understand that you're back singing in this picture, too, Dick. And I, for one, will be looking forward to hearing Powell turn a tune on the screen again. It's been quite a while. But, say, is this accurate? I'm not positive that I remember if the real Sergeant Mike warbled or not.
He sure did. And I passed muster with Mrs. Mike. Although I think that she secretly still thinks that the real Sergeant Mike sang better than Powell, and he probably did.
Well, he sort of kept his talent in cold storage, didn't he? Oh, I'm sorry, that was a pretty bad one. Tell me, Dick, just as though I couldn't guess, just what kind of a song would an Irishman like Michael Flanagan be singing to Mrs. Mike?
The old Irish ballad, The Rose of Tralee. And I enjoyed singing it as much as any tune I've ever done.
You know, Mrs. Mike sounds like a wonderful character to me, Dick. Can you think around a bit and come up with some backstage stories about the lady, like you did with Richard Diamond?
Well, when Mrs. Flanagan first came down to Hollywood, she was a little concerned as to who we were going to select to portray her life story on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
But when we chose Evelyn Keyes for the part, she was completely happy.
I don't blame her.
And ladylike as she is, she said, "Oh, I only wish I'd been half as pretty as Evelyn is when I was her age." When she found out I was going to play her husband, Sergeant Mike, in the picture, she was equally gracious to me. She said with her twinkle, "Well, Dickie, you're sure a little bit young for the part, but with a bit of coaching from me, I think you'll get by." Oh, she's a wonderful lady, Mrs. Mike. And I know that everyone will enjoy her life story on the screen.
Well, let me repeat myself once again. It was a grand book, and I don't see how the picture can miss. But how about it, Dick? Any more yarns? How about the stuntmen? Did they have any trouble driving the dog teams or things like that?
I drove them myself, and I've got the calluses to prove it. And unlike some movies I've made, I enjoyed every minute we spent making Mrs. Mike.
Well, when you can enjoy work, I guess it's actually not work, it's pleasure. All right, Dick, we'll be looking forward to hearing you Sundays on NBC and KDKA at 5 o'clock, and I trust a good many steady customers of the old Midnighters Club will take a turn over to the Lowell's Penn Theater and catch a glimpse of the lady we've been talking about, Mrs. Mike. Thank you very much for stopping in this evening.
Thanks for having me visit. I've enjoyed talking about Rick Diamond and Mrs. Mike. They're both close to my heart. And it's my very sincere wish that all of you will get pleasure from them.